step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome to Ask an Attorney. The law office is now open. If you have a legal question about Florida law, give us a call. Our toll-free number, 800-969-9352.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, it is open on 6:07 on a Sunday morning. It's September the 27th, 2020. I'm glad to be here this morning. If you have a legal question, I'd be more than glad to help you in any way I possibly can. All you have to do is to dial the toll-free number. Your question can be about just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, power of attorney, healthcare surrogates. It can be about guardianship. It can be about traffic law. It can be about personal injury. It can be about family law. It can be just about any area of law. If I know the answer, I'll be glad to share it with you. If I don't know the answer, we try to get you a resource, maybe a referral to another attorney. We do whatever we can to help you in any way we possibly can. If you have a legal question this morning, something you've been worried about maybe during the night, like a little peace of mind perhaps, getting pointed in the right direction, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. And phone lines are open this morning. I always like that first caller coming in to kind of get the show rolling. The whole purpose of the show is to talk to you and answer your legal question. And your question, hopefully that the answer helps you, but also helps lots of other people who might have similar circumstances or worried about something or thinking about something and would like to know more information. And you call in and ask the question, that's great. That's what the show is all about. It's been that way for 36 years now. Longest running continual program in Florida. And continually every week. We're on, usually we're on Saturday mornings. We have other shows on multiple stations around Florida. On that Saturday morning, we have about 15 stations. Sunday morning, we're on 970 right here with you to answer your legal questions. Toll free number for you to call the show is 800-969-9352. And again, phone lines are open. Well, I had a great week this week. I got to speak in person, which is one of the first times I've done that in recent months at Indian Rocks Baptist Church. I love going into churches and speaking about being a good steward of your assets and various ways that you should be thinking about being a good steward concerning estate planning of your assets and so forth. If your church would like to have me come in and speak on something like that, take questions from the audience, talk a little bit, always enjoy those. Of course, there's no fee for anything like that. If you belong to some other type of group that meets, in either whether it's a Zoom meeting or a in-person meeting, people meeting we'll call it, a physical meeting, I'd be glad to come to that. Also, there's no, I've spoken at many Kiwanis service, Rotary clubs in the past, a lot of senior groups, AARP groups, retirement club groups, federal employee, retired federal employee groups. I mean, you name it. I've spoken, used to do a speaking engagement in person, at least probably one or two or three a month. And sometimes more than one a week. And I love doing that type of thing. I am certainly available for that. Okay, we've got a couple of callers here this morning. Let's go to Brent in Clearwater.
Hi, I have a quick question. I recently lent someone my car for just a few hours, and during that time they got a red light ticket, but I got sent the ticket because it was obviously my tag and all of that. I was just curious what my options were as far as trying to get out of the ticket since I wasn't actually driving.
Yeah, where was that red light camera? Because they've taken a lot of them down.
Okay, it was in Clearwater.
Okay. Well, the answer is you need to report that you were not the driver. Advise who the driver was. Okay. If you could get the driver to sign something acknowledging they were the driver of the car at that time, and you can follow that along with your answer to the ticket, and the ticket will be reassigned to that person.
Okay, that's so something I could do at like the courthouse or something like that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You might be able to do it through the mail,
okay.
But if I were
awesome.
You, I would call the clerk of the court and tell them the circumstances and let them advise you at that point. Write down the name of who you talked to and let them advise you what to do. But generally, you report that it wasn't you, the driver. Report the driver's name, address, contact information. If you can get the driver to acknowledge it in writing, that would be even better. And that's what I would do.
Okay. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right, Brent. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Lillian in Clearwater.
Yes. I'm going to, tell you what happened. My son bought a house, and he put all the money in his checking account. And he took. I had gotten in a accident and got pushed in a ditch. And when he brought my car back, he said, "You can't have your car anymore." And took my driving privileges away. And now this question I really need answered. U.S. Savings bonds. He took all my savings bonds and sold them.
What, did he keep the money himself?
Yes. I have no money.
Does he have doctor's letters? I'm
87 years old and I have no money. I want to buy a house, but I can't do it.
All right, you said initially the son bought the house. Would you want to buy one?
I want to buy one.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have no money.
Okay, I understand. So let me ask you, does your son, do you have a doctor?
Yeah.
Do you have a doctor? Would your doctor say, sign something that you are competent to make legal decisions, or does your son have some?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with me, so I'm just looking for somebody to help me.
Yeah. Do you have more than one child?
Oh, all my children are grown.
Yeah. How many children do you have?
Five sons.
And do the other four sons know what's going on?
No. I told one, but, I hate to bother them, because they have a family, and one's in New England, and one's in New Jersey, Philadelphia, and...
All right, let me ask you this. Does your son have a power of attorney document you've signed giving him power to do anything?
No.
Okay. All right, well, unfortunately, you have two choices that most mothers would have a very difficult time doing. And they are, number one, report your son to the police because he's stolen money from you. Number two, have an attorney get involved in possibly the outcome. If he doesn't cooperate, would you have to sue him? So he's done a criminal act by taking your money, cashing the bonds, not giving you the money. He doesn't have a durable power of attorney or anything like that.
To sell my bonds. Isn't that against the law?
Yeah, that's a criminal act. That's why you're reporting to the police. He stole money from
you. That's what I
thought. He stole money from you. So either you're reporting to the police, who maybe will file charges, and maybe the court system will make him make restitution to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or number two, you have an attorney involved to file.
Well, you know what? I called this other attorney. He has the same name, you know, twice. I forget what it is. But I went on my computer, and I filled out all the information. And he never called me back.
Well, you could call them. If you want
I'll call them again.
With the same name, you know, twice, I'm thinking I know who that is. But you could just call them and ask to speak to someone and tell them you sent them an email, and then maybe get the name of someone you could send it directly to.
Oh, okay.
That would be, why don't you try that?
Okay.
All right.
You have no idea how I feel. My whole life, I had a job. You know, I was...
All right, well, you know...
I never depended on anybody else.
Yeah, you've done everything you can. Your son doesn't listen to you. It's not reasonable. You either report him to the police, or actually, you might tell your son that you've talked to an attorney, which you have. You tell him you've emailed an attorney. You've also talked to an attorney. And, you know, you don't want to sue him. You don't want to return him in to the police. But what he's done, you've been advised what he's done is a criminal act. He didn't have the power to do that. And I don't know how he sold the bonds without a power of attorney, unless he forged your name or something.
I had quite a bit. I've been, you know, retired for quite some time, and I went to the bank. And they said they didn't have any in there.
Okay. Okay, so your choices are either get an attorney involved or file criminal charges. So you've gotten an email into an attorney. I would bug them if you want to use them and see why they haven't responded to email. Get to talk to someone, get the name of someone, resend the email, and just take some action. Okay, Lil?
Okay, thank you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Mike and Palmetto.
Good morning. I was in an auto accident 2 months ago. I had a lady plow into the side of me. And... when I exited the vehicle to see if she was all right, she actually physically attacked me. And this happened in front of a restaurant I frequent. The owner came out. The woman attacked her. And police arrived. They arrested her, charged her with assault and battery, took her away. Come to find out, she only had collision insurance. And I had a injury in the incident. So I just wanted to see, what are my legal... you know, what do you recommend as far as the next step for this? Because, again, it was just a bizarre incident.
Well, you have your own insurance, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And this has been reported to your insurance company?
Yes, my insurance company, her insurance company wouldn't deal. I couldn't even get her information. She was so crazed. So, anyway, my insurance company took care of the damage to the vehicle, and now my treatment, which is ongoing. But as far as her being at fault with the accident, being arrested, being charged, come to find out she has multiple DUIs, multiple domestic disturbances, assault, battery. I mean, what are my legal options moving forward?
Well, if you have received damages or due money beyond what her policy covers, which it sounds like that's your situation, you can sue her.
She only had collision. She didn't have any liability. You know, had no liability, no, nothing that I know of. All they told me she had was collision.
So whatever your case is worth, I mean, I can give you the name of a personal injury attorney if you like to talk to a personal injury attorney that does these type of matters. But once you've maxed out your policy, if there are more damages involved, you have to sue her personally. And then you are in line to take possession of some of her assets once you get a judgment, like her, maybe her car, maybe her bank accounts, her homestead would probably be protected under the homestead rules, but she might have some other assets. You can get a judgment that sticks on her, and as she, you know, you can be proactive in taking assets from her during the life of the judgment.
It's just what bothers my mind is I thought full coverage in this state, and I'm mistaken, that you had to carry some kind of liability insurance, but apparently you don't. And I was shocked, as a matter of fact. I didn't know you could just, and it's a 2020 vehicle she was driving, you know, and that's all the coverage she had. And come to find out, she has a foreclosure and all these different, you know, criminal charges in her past. So basically I'm dealing with somebody who has no regard for the law at all. So that's my situation. I doubt she has any assets at all. So, you know, if you do everything right, you cover your you carry your insurance, the way most responsible people do, and someone hits you and they have nothing, then you have to go after their assets. That just does not seem right.
Well, at least you have the recourse to go after their assets if they have any. And a lot of people have insurance themselves that if they're involved, if someone has an accident that doesn't have ample insurance or any insurance, then your own insurance there is. You might want to talk to your agents about being insured against uninsured drivers yourself.
Right. Well, I had that. Like I said, I was fully covered. And I'm not, again, this first time I ever went through this, I've never had to sue anybody in my whole life. I'm almost 60 years old. It's just, it's very eye-opening when this happens to you. And, you know, the person that hit you has no responsibility, basically, whatever
Well, they do. They are responsible. You know, So you're suing them because they weren't responsible, but that, you know, you have the avenue of filing a lawsuit against them.
Okay. Well, that's what was my question. That's the avenue that I'm going, but I just was curious if you had any additional advice. But, it's crazy out there right now. I mean, people are losing their minds.
There are tons of irresponsible people out there, too, so... So if you have the uninsured motorist protection, right. I'm glad you have that. So at least you have that. So, all right. Well, thanks for calling, Mike. All right. So let's go to Attorney John Frazier, who's calling in this morning. John is our Medicaid VA attorney with his Medicaid tip of the week. Good morning, John.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing today?
Good. Hey, so I have a question for you. We had a caller two callers ago. And I thought of you because I saw your name on the caller screen here when I was talking to her. Her son, let's say her son stole all of her money. I know he stole some bonds and so forth, but he stole all of her money.
Yeah.
Unless she was 87 years old. So suppose, you know, a year from now, she sounded very, very with it. So I don't think a nursing home is in her near future. It doesn't sound like it. But let's just say that she had to go into a nursing home in a year and didn't have any money because her son stole her money. I don't think we've ever talked about this question. And she has no money because it was... Could she qualify for Medicaid?
Yes. We haven't discussed it, but I've had this, unfortunately, this fact pattern several times over the years. And what we do in a situation like this is the state of Florida requires that a complaint or an elder abuse complaint be filed with the Florida Department of Children and Families to open an investigation. There will be an investigation number that is attached to the Medicaid application. And in every case, DCF, the Department of Children and Families, has approved the Medicaid case and deemed that to be a non-disqualifying transfer. Whereas for most transfers, except for to limited individuals, within 5 years of a Medicaid application, that would be a disqualifying transfer. So that transfer would not be deemed as disqualifying as long as you file the complaint with the Department of Children and Families and have a complaint number.
All right. Well, very good. So what's the Medicaid tip of the week this week?
Today I'm going to talk about two trusts that we frequently use in Medicaid planning. One is called a qualified income trust, and the other is called a special needs pool trust. The qualified income trust has only one use. I think there's a lot of confusion about this because people will call us and say, you know, I want to use this qualified income trust to obtain Medicaid. It has only one use. The state of Florida has an income limit for Medicaid. This year, the income limit is $2,349 per month in gross monthly income. So let's say that you have an unmarried Medicaid applicant with Social Security and pension totaling $3,000 a month. So let's say the person has $1,500 in his checking account, just to simplify the fact pattern. What we would have to do in a situation like that is typically the power of attorney or a spouse would sign off on a document called a qualified income trust, and then we would open a new checking account. It would say the person's name, income only trust. Then each month we would transfer most of the person's monthly income into this new checking account. Person would be qualified for Medicaid, and instead of paying between $8,000 and $15,000 a month for the person's care, his monthly income would cover the entire cost of the person's care. So that's the only use for a qualified income trust. We have a lot of people call in and think that it has other uses, but it has no other use under Florida law. The other trust is called a special needs pool trust. Now, this can serve as both the qualified income trust and an asset protection trust. So if you take that same fact pattern that we had before, and let's change it a little bit, let's say that the person has $100,000 in the person's checking account. So what we can do in a situation like that is we could actually not use the income trust in that situation. Let's say we take $99,000 out of the person's checking account, we put it into the special needs pool trust, and that will serve as both the qualified income trust and an asset protection trust. The downside of these trusts is that the state of Florida is the beneficiary on both of these accounts. It's not really an issue with the qualified income trust because we only use that as a vehicle to pay the monthly income each month, so we really don't keep much of a balance in that checking account. However, the special needs pool trust, and we see this fairly regularly, typically that money is not going to be entirely used during the person's lifetime, and there'll be money left in the trust. And in order for the family to inherit it, the money, the Medicaid lien, must be paid back to the state of Florida first, and then the family can inherit that money. So I would say about 25% of our clients need the qualified income trust. Maybe 10, 15% of our clients at the most use the special needs trust, primarily to protect assets, but we have a whole wide variety of asset protection strategies. So I would say that the special needs pool trust is not a super popular strategy, but it definitely works very well.
So all right, John, how does a listener contact you if they want more information about Medicaid planning, VA planning, these qualified income trusts, special pool trusts? They want to talk to someone, maybe even just to get ready in the future for Medicaid planning. Go ahead and give your contact information.
We provide a free case evaluation. We do an intake and a free case evaluation for everybody who calls. The office number is 727-586-3306, extension 104. My cell phone is 727-748-5374. And my email address is john@attypip.com.
John, thanks so much for calling. You have a great Sunday.
All right, have a great Sunday, too.
Thank you. Those that are interested in reaching John and didn't get all that contact information, I'll give out my contact information during the show and be glad to share that with you. We're going to take a short news break. We'll be right back.
News, traffic, and weather.
Tampa. This is Ask an Attorney on 970 WFLA.
All right, good morning again. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Yep, it's open on Sunday morning at 6:35 in the morning, September 27th, 2020. We are glad to be here. We are glad to be in a position for you to call in on a toll-free number and answer your legal question, maybe something you've been worried about during the night or all week. Talk to your neighbors, you talk to people at work, you just can't seem to get any peace of mind about what the answer might be. Why not try an attorney? Ask an attorney.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A lot of times people, lay people just may give wrong advice. I see this all the time. Just they don't quite understand. We have a toll-free number for you to call and call in the show. It's 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. And you're listening to Attorney Joe Pippin. That's me, host of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law for 36 years. I think next week when I come in here, we started in September of 1984. So next week when I come in here, we'll be working on 37 years. And people ask me all the time, who's going to listen to or call into a legal show on a Sunday morning at 6 o'clock? And my answer is someone who's been up most of the night worried about some legal issue. Hey, but you don't have to have worried about it all up during the middle of the night. If you have a legal question of any type, just give me a call. Something you wondered about, I'd be more than glad to help. Again, the toll-free number is 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. Hey, so we had a Zoom seminar on Friday, the fourth one. I'm doing these every other week now on Friday at 10 o'clock. We've had one. We started out doing one on just general estate planning. We did one on asset protection. And then we did one on Medicaid. And this last one we did 2 days ago was on probate. So how we do this is about an hour-long seminar. I talk for the first 30 minutes about the topic. And then we open up the second half of the second 30 minutes. We answer your legal questions. Most of those come in through the chat room on Zoom. And some, if we run out of chat room questions, then we take live questions to round out the hour. And sometimes we just go right to, we take a few, we mix all that up sometimes and take a few live questions, go to the chat room, answer a few more questions, go back to the chat. The good thing about Zoom is if you want to participate in Zoom and be visually on the Zoom hour, then the screen cuts to you, the caller, to ask your question, and you can see all of the other people that are participating in the show. So anyway, the next one is October the 9th. It's Friday at 10 o'clock. And the next, I decided to do my next show on living trust. Just focus in on trust, just like we focused in on last time we focused in on probate. And we had John Frazier on as a guest. We focused in on Medicaid. And then before that, we focused in on asset protection. And then the first one was kind of a broad spectrum of just estate planning. We talked about all of that, but we're going to do one October the 9th at 10 o'clock just on trust. All the little nuances of trust, all the pluses and minuses of trust, and talk about that a little bit and take your questions. If you'd like to participate, it's free, absolutely free. And if you'd like to participate in it, you send me an email at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. So that's Joe at attypip.com. pip.com. And we'd be more than glad to take your reservation, send you a confirmation, and have you participate in our Zoom seminar October the 9th. Hey, phone lines are open here at the radio station right now. If you want to call in, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question this morning, I'd be more than glad to talk to you. Would love to take your call, help give you a little peace of mind, get you pointed in the right direction. And again, phone lines are open, 800-969-9352. One of the questions we got this week was, you know, a person was interested in a trust, and they wanted to know what happens to the trust when they die. How does a trust get closed down after death? And basically, a trust gets closed down at time of death, just like a will would get closed down at time of death through probate, or generally how an estate gets closed down upon the death of a person. Basically, whoever's going to be in charge of the estate pays the bills, deals with creditors. They collect all of the assets, pay the bills, do the taxes, deal with creditors, and make the distribution. So then the question became, well, how do they make the distribution? So the way they make the distribution, I told them the way I would do it, if I were the personal representative, executor of the estate, or the trustee of the estate upon the death of the person, what I do is, you know, I collect the assets, pay the bills, create a little inventory for the benefit of the beneficiaries, write out checks when the appropriate time comes up to make the final distribution of the estate, write out checks, send everyone a copy of their check with a letter and an inventory, and asking them, you know, this is a full accounting of the estate. Here's all the money collected. Here are all the bills paid. And here's your proposed final distribution of the check. And please sign and accept this as your inheritance and release me from further duty as your trustee or personal representative. And once I collect all of these from all of the beneficiaries, I will then distribute the money. Now, doing it that way ensures that, you know, you don't start writing checks out and then somebody has a problem with the way was the money was distributed, and then you have to redo the checks because of something that was missed, or something that should have been paid, or one of the beneficiaries presents a bill for something they did that should have been paid, and so forth. You know, you can't always have it perfect where somebody's not going to make a claim or object to something that, and then the others have to deal with it. For example, I'm the trustee of a trust right now, and the person living that died had a life estate in a residence. And now the remainder beneficiary of that is filing basically a claim or a lawsuit alleging that the house was not kept up properly. So they're making a claim for repairs of the house. Now I have to deal with that before I can make a final distribution, things like that. So that was one of the interesting questions we had to deal with this week. Let's give out the number, then we'll go to Mike in Clearwater. If you have a question you want to call the show in the remaining time, it's 800-969-9352. That's 1-800 if you want to call the show now. Phone lines are open at 1-800-969-9352. Let's go to Mike in Clearwater.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Mike.
I'm doing great. Okay, I have a question. You helped us out, which we appreciate. Now, for liability purposes, if rental properties are taken out of a trust and put into a LLC, is that LLC like a separate entity, or then can the LLC be put back in the trust and the trust would basically be the owner of the limited liability company? Can you kind of go over how that would work?
Sure. Yeah, well, if you put property in an LLC, then the LLC is a separate entity with its own tax number. Just like a corporation, it's a separate entity. So people do LLCs for asset protection. When you have a living trust, you can then assign your interests of the LLC to a trust to avoid probate. So the LLC itself protects the property, but the LLC, once it's assigned to the trust, avoids probate. And if someone gets injured on the property and there's a lawsuit involved, they can only sue the LLC. They cannot sue the whole trust.
Okay, so it's kind of like a little circle within a circle. So the trust would basically be the owner of the LLC, or I guess my mom would own it, but it wouldn't be titled directly to her. It would be basically the trust owns it. Am I right, or am I sort of on the right track?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the trust and your mother and the trust are the same entity. So anything in the trust she would own. And it's not that the trust is a different entity, but the LLC is a different entity. So if the rental property is in the LLC, they can only sue the LLC. At the end of the day, when mother dies, the successor trustee takes over. The LLC is inside the trust to avoid the probate process.
Okay, so she can, if she dies, then whoever she, you know,
appoints as the,
it would just basically come down and we would avoid probate.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joe.
The interesting question about LLCs, though, maybe this doesn't pertain to your mother. The interesting question about when you do asset protection on having LLCs and you have more than one rental property, the question becomes how many LLCs do you create? Because if you lump all of your rental properties into one LLC, then all of the rental properties are in jeopardy. Now, the rest of the assets in the trust are not in jeopardy. But if all of the rental properties are in one LLC, then all of those rental properties are in jeopardy. There's a lawsuit against one. So some people have multiple LLCs. Some people have an LLC for each property. Some people group rental properties in LLCs based on the equity, you know, based on the rental properties. So you have three rental properties heavily mortgaged with no equity, really. You can put all those in one, for example. And ones that are paid off, you might create separate LLCs for those. So, I mean, the question about LLCs and trust sometimes becomes how many LLCs do you create? Just a little added information there for you.
So what I'm basically, if she has a few of them and they're all free and clear, you might have to make one for each one of them.
Yes. Yeah, she wanted to do LLCs. Now, some people on the other end of the spectrum, some people just don't want to create all these separate entities for separate tax returns for each different property, for each LLC. So some people are satisfied to not to have an LLC, for example, and just have plenty of insurance that would cover any incident on the property. So I don't know, that's the kind of discussion we have when people come in to discuss LLCs and putting them in trust and whether they need an LLC. These are all the type of talking points that we go through during that conversation.
Okay. All right, Joe. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call the toll-free number. The toll-free number to call the radio station is 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. And if you would like to call the show, I would be more than happy to talk to you. Now, that question makes me think of other questions you might want to know about trust. And the common question during most conversations about trust, give me a list of things that would go in the trust. And then, by the way, what do I have that might not go into the trust? And the trust is just a fancy will that avoids probate. The same information I would ask you to create a trust is the same information I would ask you to create a will. the difference between the two documents is just what happens at the end of the day when a person dies. With a will, you're going to have some things go through probate, very expensive, time-consuming. With a trust, there's no probate of anything in the trust, and it's quick and easy to administer and take care of. Are there things that don't go in the trust? Well, automobiles don't go in the trust. You know, that goes with RVs and boats, generally don't go in a trust. Why? Because those type of titles don't go through probate. If you have a question, by the way, we have about 9 minutes left in this hour. And the phone lines are open right now at 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open right now. It'd be a good time to call. So the other assets that don't go in the trust are like retirement accounts. So why doesn't the retirement account go in the trust? Well, because a retirement account generally has a beneficiary. Now, we're probating a couple of cases right now where there was no beneficiary. The beneficiary was a spouse that died before the last spouse died with no contingent beneficiary. That resulted in probate. So if you have retirement accounts, check out who the beneficiaries are. If you've named your spouse that's already passed away, then you've created a probate situation by not having a beneficiary. Can the beneficiary be a trust? Well, it could be. But it's if you're going to make a beneficiary outright beneficiary, like you have three kids and you want your three kids to share this retirement account, and you name the three kids as the beneficiary of the retirement account itself, and don't create an extra step. The trust is an extra step, and the trust is not a person, so all the taxes would be due at once. And you'd have to, if you want the trust to be a beneficiary, you'd probably have to have a reason to make it make sense to me. And the reason would be you want to stretch out the distribution of the retirement account for 10 years. And you don't want them to have it all right to be able to spend it, cash it, do whatever they want to with it outright. So you can make the trust a beneficiary. There just has to be special language in the trust not to have all the taxes due all at once. And other things, insurance and annuities don't have to go into the trust. They can go into the trust. If you want to do, I think the most common reason is if there's a stretch of the property, that you want to stretch out the distribution over time instead of having the person get it outright. There's just people that have trusts. You know, sometimes people have trusts, have minor children. They don't want them to get their assets until a certain age, 21, 25, sometimes later. They want the money to be used prior to the age they pick of an outright distribution to be used for college, medical, maintenance, style of living and so forth. There's a very general language you can put in there to take care of the child before they reach the age if you want them to have an outright distribution. And let's face it, some children are just not responsible enough to have a large sum of money. Some children have never had a large sum of money, so why give them a large pop of money all at once when they don't have the capability or experience in handling that much money? What would they do with it? Do they have friends that would take advantage of them and so forth? Hey, so we have about 6 minutes left. Phone lines are open right now. If you want to call the show, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. Be more than glad to talk to you. And if I can help you in any way, all you have to do is to dial that number. So we have a Zoom seminar. It's 800, by the way, 969-9352. 800-969-9352. So if you'd like to attend our Zoom seminar, it's October the 9th. It'll be at 10 o'clock. It's an hour-long seminar. The topic on our fifth in this series of educational seminars is all about living trust. So we'll do a full hour just talking about trust and answering your Zoom questions either in the chat room. We can do that, or you can go live if you want to on Zoom and ask questions. Either way is fine with me. If you'd like to attend this, you can just send me an email to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. Let's go to Ken in St. Petersburg. Hey, Ken, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay.
Yeah, good morning.
Good. What
Thank
can I
you
do
for taking my call.
No problem.
Yeah, I'm just prompted to speak with you because the gentleman was on regarding being in an automobile accident.
Yes.
Yes, and I had that occur to me by an unsure driver, and I want to ask you three questions. First two should be very simple to answer. And the third one would depend on that. Am I free to see if he appeared or settled on the traffic citation? And how would I follow through on that?
Yeah, that should be a public record.
Public record?
But that really doesn't... Well, okay. Go ahead and ask the rest of your questions. Yeah, it should be a public record,
okay, well,
whether... the result of the traffic accident or incident.
Yes, because okay. Can I follow up on his license plate on the car to see if he's got another vehicle, or is that information available to the public?
Yes, I believe it is. You can go to. There's a way to search that. And find out if the person owns a car. Yes.
Okay.
And let me ask
the third
you this.
Question
yeah,
is,
yeah, ask the third question, then I might have a few questions for you.
Okay. I had talked with this insurance company, and this driver was presented papers on the scene. However, the car was insured to, was owned by someone else. But he used their papers. And they won't, the owner of the car won't stand up. And they refuse to take claim. So the insurance company said they've done this like twice before. My real question there is, I get the feeling that the insurance company will still insure the owner because they're claiming no knowledge, basically. So,
yeah, Ken, what I would do is to give you, if you want to send me your name and phone number, I will have a personal injury attorney that handles these type of cases contact you. Most likely the personal injury attorney would write the owner a letter demanding the insurance information and take appropriate action if they did not get the information. So the personal injury attorney would want whatever information you have about the driver and the owner. And then they would find these people if you don't have their address or anything and send them a demand letter and take it from there. Were you injured?
Okay.
Were you injured at all?
Yes.
All right. Well, I can give you my name and email address. And if you want to email me, I can even talk to the personal injury attorney today and see if he can call you. I know it's Sunday, but he does that. So my email is Joe, J-O-E, at... attypip.com. So that's Joe at attypip.com.
Okay, very good.
All right, Ken, thanks. Hey, John from
yes,
Tampa,
thank you.
I'm hoping you're going to hang on to be our first caller next hour. We're doing another hour of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. So, John, if you're listening, please hang on. You'll be our first caller coming back from the news. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.